Mission Hospital is leading the way in providing you with the most advanced diagnostic care in the world, part of the St. Joseph Health System. And now it's time for Mission Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
Prostate cancer is a cancer that occurs in a man's prostate. It's a small walnut-shaped gland that produces the seminal fluid that nourishes and transports sperm. My guest today is Dr. Josh Randall. He's board-certified urologist at Mission Hospital. Welcome to the show, Dr. Randall. So let's talk about prostate cancer. First of all, there's been some talk in the media about fish oil being linked to prostate cancer. Is this a myth or a fact?
At this point, it's pretty much a myth. The data out there is pretty mixed. If you search it, there are some studies that say the prostate cancer risk is higher. Others say it's lower. If you really kind of look at the data, there really seems to be no increased risk of taking fish oil. And the recommendation at this point is that those who take it should probably stay on it.
Okay, so that's really good to know. So it is not a risk. Right now, there is no research that determines that it is. So let's talk about what is a risk. Let's start with risk factors for prostate cancer, controllable and non-controllable.
So at this point, there really aren't any controllable risk factors. We don't know of any environmental causes. Smoking hasn't been linked to prostate cancer. So most prostate cancer that occurs just occurs spontaneously, like a lot of different cancers. What we do know is controllable are certain ethnic factors. There's definitely a huge link to a family history. So if a father or an uncle or brother has it, then a man typically is almost at five times more risk for developing prostate cancer.
And isn't it true that as a man ages, you know, they're going to get an enlarged prostate? It's a pretty high percentage anyway, but not necessarily cancer.
Exactly. And that's the biggest differentiation that we always talk about in the office, is that every man's prostate is going to grow. So when we hit puberty in our early teens, our prostate starts growing to produce the seminal fluid, as you mentioned, but then it never stops. And some men will be symptomatic of that and others won't, but that's not necessarily prostate cancer. Prostate cancer essentially has no symptoms.
Okay, so I was going to ask you symptoms. I mean, what would send a man to see a urologist such as yourself at Mission Hospital? Are there certain things, you know, we've heard about trouble urinating or blood in the urine, any of these kinds of things that would signal, hey, get to see you?
Absolutely. So the current recommendation for prostate cancer is that because it has no symptoms, that a man at the age of 50 should start to be screened. And there's been a lot of controversy and talk in the media about the usefulness of the PSA testing that we do. The PSA is the blood test that helps us screen for prostate cancer, but it's not a perfect test. So the current American Urologic Association guidelines is that every man, regardless of race or family history, at a minimum should start screening at the age of 55 and continue screening yearly until they're 70. After 70, then the discussion becomes a little different, because the concern is that if we screen you for prostate cancer and we find prostate cancer, is the risk of treating you greater than the disease itself? So then we say if you're 70 and you're fairly healthy and you have an expected life expectancy of about 10 years, then you should continue to be screened. So those are the current recommendations for prostate cancer and why any man over 50 should be seen by a urologist on a yearly basis.
Now, speak about the PSA for just a minute, Dr. Randall, please, if you would. You know, people hear the numbers, 1, 4, 10, whatever. Please tell us, what is normal PSA numbers and what would send up a red flag?
Sure. So there's a couple of things to look at. We know it's not a perfect test. In fact, it only has about a 20% sensitivity, meaning that if we had 10 guys who had an abnormal number, only two of them would actually have cancer. So that's where a lot of the controversy comes into play, and who do we screen. But so by the textbook, anything below 4.0 is what we would consider normal. But we also look at the rate of change, and that's also important. So if a gentleman comes into the office at, let's say, age 55, his PSA is 1.0, and we say, well, that's normal. The following year he comes in and it's 2.0, that sends up a red flag. So even though it's below 4, that rate of change or that jump is also concerning to us, and then may stimulate a discussion about the next step, which is typically a biopsy of the prostate.
So that leads into my next question. If, you know, the number is higher, you've seen it jump in just a year's time, and, you know, maybe something is going on, then what tests do you do to test for prostate cancer?
All right, so right now, the only way for us to actually find prostate cancer is to do a biopsy of the prostate, which is actually sounds worse than it is, but it's about a five-minute procedure done with local anesthetic in our office. And nowadays, with the changes in antibiotics and the changes in our tools, it has very little morbidity, very little side effects to it. Prostate cancer, because it typically grows very slowly, doesn't image well. So CAT scan doesn't show it well. There are some newer studies looking at MRI being able to see the tumor, but the accuracy isn't very high. So if a man has something that's suspicious, either we do an exam and we feel the prostate to be abnormal, or the PSA is elevated, then we'll have them come into the office and we'll do an intraoffice biopsy, which again takes all of about 5 minutes. Then that tissue then gets sent to a pathologist who within a few days gives us an answer of whether or not this person has prostate cancer.
And if they hear those words no man wants to hear, that they do
right.
have cancer, then there's sort of what, the staging process. You're going to determine how far along it is?
Correct. So it's the same as any cancer. So the minute you have a diagnosis, all right, we have cancer in the prostate. There's so many factors that we take into consideration. The first is the grading system. So there's a score called the Gleason score, and that tells us as the physician, is this cancer slow growing? Is it mid-range or is it aggressive? Then we typically take several biopsies. So we also look at how many of those biopsies are positive. If only one is positive, yes, they still have cancer, but then we know that the tumor is not very big. So that plays into the role. And then in certain cases, as you mentioned, staging, we'll do CAT scans or bone scans, and we'll look for disease that has possibly already spread outside the prostate. And then whether or not it's outside or just inside is going to determine what our treatment options are.
Okay, so we're going to get to treatment options, and, you know, it's not necessarily that the person is going to have surgery to remove their prostate, correct? So speak about the non-surgical treatments for prostate cancer.
So there's several, and the biggest buzz right now is what we call watchful waiting or active surveillance. So if we have a younger gentleman who's in his 50s, we might encourage him to treat early because he's expected to live hopefully a long time. If someone detects it in their 70s and it's very slow growing, we may just do nothing. And by doing nothing means not actively treating it, but we will do active surveillance. So on a regular basis, we will screen them with different techniques to see if the tumor is growing. And if we see that there's evidence of the cancer growing, we might then step in at a later date to do some type of a treatment. So one of the treatments is simply just observation or watchful waiting, and that's a very acceptable treatment. The other non-surgical treatments would be some form of radiation, and that's usually either external radiation or what's referred to as internal radiation or what people know as SEEDS. And that's those are pretty much non-surgical techniques.
Okay, so you've got the external, like a beam radiation, what people might have seen, you know, on TV or something.
Absolutely.
Pretty standard radiation now, but speak about the SEED, because that's a bit newer, pretty innovative, and has great results.
Absolutely. So for certain lower grade cancers, not so much for the more aggressive kind, but the more common lower grade, what we call brachytherapy or SEED is a procedure that the urologist does in conjunction with a radiation oncologist. And the seeds actually are about the size of a rye bread seed, a very tiny seed, and they have radiation impregnated into those seeds. Now, it is somewhat of a surgical procedure in that the patient has some form of anesthesia to not feel anything, but we put small needles into the prostate under the guidance of ultrasound, and then through these hollow needles are able to deposit several seeds throughout the prostate. Then that person will actually go home the same day with no incision and very minimal discomfort. And then the seeds themselves actually give off radiation to a similar dose that they would get if they went in for the external radiation. So the results for a lower grade prostate cancer are almost identical.
In the last 30 or 40 seconds, please, Dr. Randall, wrap it up for us about prostate cancer and what's going on.
All right, so the take-home message would be if you have a strong family history, then you should start being checked at 45. Otherwise, once you hit 50, you need to be screened yearly. You need to get an exam of your prostate and a PSA done once a year till at least the age of 70. Beyond 70, then it's going to be up to you and your doctor about whether or not you should screen. And if you are one of the 20% of men over 50 who have prostate cancer, there are a lot of newer ways to treat it, where not only can we cure the cancer, but issues such as quality of life that we're concerned about can be kept without any problem.
Thank you so much, Dr. Josh Randall. You're listening to Mission Radio. For more information on Mission Hospital, you can go to missionforhealth.com. That's mission, the number for health.com. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening.